Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
All right, Score North, extra innings, Twin Show content. My name's Declan Goff. That's Ross Brendel. He's joining me again today for game two here from Target Field. Seattle Mariners in town. Twins took game one yesterday on a brilliant pitching duel between Simeon Woods Richardson and Luis Castillo. Twins end up victorious in that department. Game two here later this evening. Of course, hit that subscribe button and the like button for next to daily Minnesota Twins content right here on the Score North YouTube channel. You can expect content from the majority of home games, select road games as well on the Twins YouTube channel. We appreciate everyone helping us get to almost 3,000 subscribers, which has been crazy. So thank you. Hit the like button, hit the sub button, and we really appreciate it. Let's start here, Rasko. So ever since coming back from injury, Max Kepler has been off to a phenomenal start. Now, we've seen inconsistencies. He's kind of inconsistently consistent. I think that's kind of a good way to put Max Kepler's career of the last few years. In the first half of last year, I mean, we were talking about, is this guy going to be DFA'd at some point? And then in the second half of the season, he was probably their best hitter. This year, he fouls a ball off his shin, I believe, on opening day, and then tries to fight through it, has to go on the IL. But since coming back, I mean, the dude's been, again, their best hitter in their entire lineup over the last just 15 games, hitting .375, .456 OBP, a slugging percentage of over .600, 11 runs driven in. He's hitting for extra base hits. And most importantly, I think here, Ross, for a team that obviously has some strikeout issues, 8 walks to just 7 strikeouts over that span too. I mean, I know you have probably had the same thoughts I had. Is this version of Max Kepler consistent, right? Is this version, if they get it of Max Kepler, I mean, you're talking about a guy who can carry your lineup basically, and maybe even be in like an all-star player. I guess, are you buying what you're seeing from Max Kepler over the last few weeks?
Well, I think you still need to see it a bit longer, but what I think is a good sign for Max Kepler, the Minnesota Twins, and maybe the Kepler doubters, he carried a successful, we'll call it maybe the last part of July, but definitely August and September into the playoffs last year, Declan. Into this season, which has now been, I know he missed some time, but we'll call it roughly a month. That's a good sign to go an entire offseason, then start the next season playing pretty well. Average of .311 right now on the season, OPS pushing .900. I think everybody would take that from him. And Declan, you touched on the part that I think is the most important for a team that is definitely going to strike out. We know it's going to happen. I think we'd like to see it a little bit less. Well, that's one way to do it a little bit less when you're walking and striking out at that 1-to-1 ratio. And I think you had the number. What is it? 8 walks, 7 strikeouts, or it might be the other way around.
Yep, you got it.
I think the Twins can live with that. I think Max Kepler can live with that. And more importantly, Declan, it's all about the process to me. You're not always going to get hits, but if you're putting together good at bats, you're putting the ball in play, you're hitting it hard, generally that's going to lead to hits, RBIs, and runs scored. So I'm leaning towards starting to believe it. I think we probably still need to see it for another month or two. But again, Declan, as the Twins have crawled back into it here, he's been probably as big of a reason, if not the biggest reason. I mean, the pitching obviously helps, but when you're talking about the lineup, he's been, if not the guys, one of the guys to help lead the Twins back up towards the top of the AL Central.
Yeah, he has been, since coming back from injury, probably their best hitter. I mean, Trevor Larnach is still hitting the ball incredibly well, too. He's still figuring out ways to get an 0 for game yesterday, but still hitting 346 and finally looking like the first-round pick that he was about 5-6 years ago. And those two have been great. I think the issue you can run into here is the Twins, who have a very left-handed top of their lineup and ones that they're counting on right now, obviously, in Kepler, in Larnach. And then Kirilloff and Julian have been the ones that have been kind of inconsistent. I mean, Kirilloff got off to the great start, but over the last month, something just hasn't looked as right with Kirilloff's swing. And just the last 30 games even, 26 strikeouts, he's hitting just 226. He's not getting on base. There is a little bit of power there, but just one hit in the last 7 days for Alex Kirilloff. And you hope to think, you know, for a guy that's battled some injuries, that something's not wrong. But the Twins can't afford to have injuries at their left-handed side of their lineup. And Ross, when I just pull up OPS from the left side of the plate this season, the Twins are 8th out of 15 teams in the American League, which in my opinion is pretty startling, because when you have Kepler and Larnach and Julian and Kirilloff, you have all these lefties that are heavy that are going to be probably somewhere in the mix between the top 5 to 6 guys in your order. You can't really have them hitting a collective 222 and an OPS near league average. Like, if this Twins lineup is going to go, regardless of, you know, Royce Lewis missing time, and I know Carlos Correa's back, and he had a great day at the plate yesterday, the Twins basically, for my long-winded way of saying this, Ross, they can't afford for their left-handed hitters to struggle this much at the plate.
Well, and Declan, I think it speaks to what the Twins need from the rest of the team. Kyle Farmer from the right-handed side of the plate starting to get going. But depending on matchups, he's not always going to play. You also need a guy like Santana starting to get going a bit. You need that to balance out. So you kind of, Declan, you need those guys who can't bat left-handed. They only bat right-handed, or a switch hitter in Santana's case. You kind of need those guys to pick up where the lefties can't. And that, to me, you know, we've seen Rocco do the, we're going to put as many lefties in the lineup as possible. Well, that's great. But to your point, if they're not hitting, then it doesn't really matter. So you kind of need the entire lineup to fall in line and do their part. And I think they're starting to get there, but health plays a role in that, Declan. When Buxton comes back, you need to start seeing him take better at bats. I think when Royce Lewis gets back, whenever that is, I still think, and maybe you know more than I do, I still think it's probably going to be post All-Star break. It just feels like that. You hope that he takes those good quality at bats, which we've seen from him. I think we know that he will. But the left-handed thing, Declan, it's a bit of a conundrum from the standpoint of, I don't know how you can fix that. The guys just have to get better on their own. I mean, what at this point, what can David Popkins really do? He's been with these guys for a couple of years. They're just going to have to put it together on their own. And I agree with you, Declan. If this is going to be a team that is going to win the division again, get back to the playoffs. And Declan, I know they were better last year, but still just score more runs when you're in the playoffs. Those guys are going to need to be hitting. Yep. Good news for the Twins. You got about 4.5 months to hopefully figure that out and hopefully win your division, so we can be talking about this talking point when October rolls around.
Yeah, on Royce, I mean, I know he had the other doctor visit, and he was, I believe, doing some running over the last week or so when they were on their road trip. He didn't travel with the team, and you'd obviously want him to get back here soon. There still is no real timetable of when they expect him to be back, which is a little confusing. I just think they're obviously trying to be very cautious. Royce, being the optimistic dude he is, wants to play right away. But yeah, I have kind of said all along, I thought maybe this guy would be back before June 1st. I don't know. I generally don't know what their timeline is here. They obviously should be cautious with him, but it feels like this lineup too, Ross, is just kind of waiting for him to come back, right? Because everyone's trying to pick up the slack. And to your point, yeah, I mean, Carlos Santana has battled some problems this year. Willie Castro recently has been good, but he also was a liability. Kyle Farmer has had his struggles. So it feels like they're trying to, Judd used the term, tread water. And I think they have for sure been able to tread above water, and they're swimming at pace, which is good. But it still feels like they're just waiting for Royce to come back. And what you can't have happen, right, is you bury yourselves. And they haven't done that over the last 2 weeks. But you can't bury yourselves and just hope that once Royce comes back, everything will be hunky-dory either.
Well, I think it also speaks, though, to the type of player and personality that Royce Lewis is, where I think the team knows when this guy is in the lineup, we're better for it. Not just because he's in the lineup, but because he makes us all better by being in the lineup. Also, pretty darn good player defensively as well. That's not a bad thing to have in the outfield. But you know, Declan, at this point, and I know he'll be back, but I just don't think you can plan for him to be back, to your point about treading water and trying to take off. It feels like the lineup is waiting to take off, and they want him in the lineup to be able to do that. But you just don't know when that's going to be. So you just have to keep coming to work every day, getting better, to use those old cliches, starting to sound like some of the people we watch on pre and post game.
Well, you used to be able to watch.
You used to. Well, exactly. Used to be able to watch. I still do. But thank you, Minnesota Twins, for making me do illegal things. I'm putting it on you. But, you know, we'll see where it goes with Royce. I'm obviously hoping for the best, too. When I know the initial time frame. I don't ever think this came from the Twins, but it sounded like that June 1st date. I'm still hopeful that that can happen, but also, Declan, I'll believe it when I see it with how injuries have affected the Minnesota Twins, and in their defense, how they've also treated some guys with kid gloves before it in the past.
So switching up to the pitching side, and Rasko, I know sometimes you have some more old school ways of looking at the game, which for better or worse are totally fine with me. But with what is your take on guys like Yoan Duran and Griffin Jacks getting the seventh and eighth? Does this bug you? Are you okay with it in the right context? You know, last night they had to go to Caleb Thielbar in the ninth, which was an interesting setup because I didn't mind that Duran was in there for the eighth. But when Thielbar came in, I went, huh, that's who's going to try to close this one out, huh? But what is your kind of overall assessment, too, on how they go about that?
Well, I saw some of your back and forth last night on the now X machine, the artist formerly known as Twitter. And Declan, I will tell you, I agree with you on this. In a perfect world, your best pitcher gets the ninth, but also the opposing team's best hitters aren't always going to come up in the ninth. So if you think your quote unquote closer, in this case, Yoan Duran, is okay in a mental space, not everybody, Glenn Perkins has talked about this, not all closers are great outside of the ninth inning, but if you have a guy that you feel like you can trust in the eighth inning to come in and get three big outs and not blow the game there, then I have no problem with it, especially when you have a bullpen that you do like and I do believe is pretty darn good. Now, Caleb Thielbar getting a couple ninth innings in the past few weeks, that does make me feel a little queasy. But hey, Rocco's forgotten more about baseball than I'll probably ever know. But Declan, this is one of the more newer school things I don't have any problem with. I really don't. If you think your pitchers are able to handle it, that's fine. And I know we've seen even before Duran got back, Cole Sands in the ninth inning, and he did a decent job closing out games. Zero problem with this. I thought the game last night, though, was a little interesting because was it 8-9-1 batting?
For Duran, yeah. That part was a little weird to me, too.
I thought that was a little interesting, knowing that if he gets 8-9-1, you'll still have 2-3-4. But by and large, independent of the situation, Declan, if you think your best chance to win the game or preserve a lead is to bring your quote-unquote closer out in the seventh or eighth inning, zero problem with it. That's not one that I'll fight you on.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Yeah, I asked Trevor Plouffe about it too, which you can find right here on this YouTube channel and podcast feed. He joined us on Tuesday afternoon, and he said he's fine with it if you have, you know, good backup options behind him. Like, you know, you can't burn Duran just because you want to. If it has to be in the right context. And yeah, I thought 8-9-1, and I think their reasoning there was they knew the top of the order was coming up, and there was going to be a few more lefties or switch hitters, and they were probably going to know that there's going to be some substitutions here and there. So, I mean, not exactly a perfect science, but I'm mostly in line with, hey, if this is a heart of the order situation and you want to win the game, don't wait until the ninth. You got to obviously win the eighth inning too. And yes, it was a pitcher's duel in general. Like, I think what, 4 and 5 hits for both teams. So it was mostly a pitcher's duel, and just a couple runs was going to win that game. And Carlos Correa had some big knocks that honestly kind of carried them to the win. But if you feel you can get out of this situation by having to use one of your pitchers and better pitchers now, you should probably do it.
Well, and Declan, I think you can play that game both ways. I forgot who originally said it, but I've heard a lot of people say it. When it comes to the ninth inning and a closer comes in, maybe it's a 4-run game, but maybe a good meaty part of the lineup is coming in. and people are coming up and people say, well, why is the closer in the game? Well, it might not be a save situation, but it's still a win situation. So yep. I also think you can look at that in the ninth inning and say, okay, well, it might be a 4-run lead, but look at this lineup coming in and we really need this game. I think you can also play that game in that direction. Question for you, my man.
Yeah.
Pitcher's duel or hitter's duel? This is not the quick hitter, by the way. This just came up in the conversation of what you were talking about a couple times with last night's pitcher's duel. I thought it was an incredibly entertaining game to see. When pitchers are going well, I think that's really fun. And then you get good timely hitting. I think that can be really fun to watch. But interested to get your thought on hitter's duel or pitcher's duel.
I lean mostly pitcher's duel because I like watching pitchers shove. So I'm typically a big pitcher's duel guy. I will say if I'm here as a fan and let's say I want to have a couple beers and I want to be here for a long time and, you know, having a couple beers might make me go broke, but you get what I'm trying to say. Then I want some home runs. Then I want some offense. Then I want a lot of stuff happening. But I think about 80 to 90% of the time, I will take a pitcher's duel every time.
I think interesting point there, Declan. I think as a fan, you want to go to a game and get out in maybe a tidy time frame, but you also don't want it to be too tidy.
Yeah.
Couple of years ago, Declan, yeah. I go to watch the baby twins pretty much every year in Cedar Rapids. Drive 4 hours, spend the day down there. Of course, have some adult beverages. Watch the ball game that took 1 hour and 51 minutes.
Oh, that's incredible.
The game took less than half of my drive time.
Yeah.
I'm barely here. No, so you do want the game, I think, when you're there to maybe just have a little bit more girth to it, if I can say that without both of us giggling. Yeah, yeah, giggity. But yeah, I agree with you. Pitcher's duel, man. That's the way to go. That's one. I don't love a lot of the sayings that you kids use, but I do love shove. Shove's a good one.
I'm a big fan of on a heater. I know. I think that one bugs you, right? You're not a big on a heater guy. I like on
and
a heater.
Showing out. Nobody ever said showing out until 3 years ago, and now people won't stop saying out. It.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like I don't hear that as much, but I do hear it. But not in my repertoire. That one's not coming out of my chamber.
I think showing out bugs me a lot more than on a heater. Do you want your quick hitter?
Yeah, dude, hit me. What do you got?
Okay, so your quick hitter. Which movie, Declan, strikes out? Which movie puts together a solid at bat?
Okay.
And which movie hits a home run? I'm going to give you three. You get to categorize them. I think I know the answer to one of them. They're all Costner baseball films today, my guy.
Okay.
Field of Dreams, Bull Durham, and For Love of the Game. Which one's walking? Which one's striking out? Which one's hitting a home run?
Let me just do a quick Google search because I just want to make sure I've seen For the Love of the Game. I'm pretty sure I haven't. Okay. I have not seen For the Love of the Game.
So that one, I think, do that game. One, do we have to say maybe walks?
That can walk. Yeah.
That one maybe walks.
So I think we've been meaning to do it on a sports or movie rewind this summer, or it almost came up a few years ago. Actually, I definitely have not seen this start to finish. I do know that.
And this is my apology because I thought you had. You either like that movie For Love of the Game or you despise it. I happen to really like it. But okay, between Field of Dreams and Bull Durham, I'll just simplify it for you. Which one's better? Which one do you prefer? Because they're both baseball classics.
I like Bull Durham a lot more. I think Field of Dreams is vastly overrated. It is not a stop and watch movie for me. Like that's kind of one of our barometers on the movie rewinds.
Flaming hot take.
Yeah, it does nothing for me. I understand it's an icon. It's definitely the most iconic of these ones you're talking about, and maybe arguably the most iconic baseball film there is. It is not my thing. So I that's an easy strikeout. Bull Durham's a phenomenal movie. I love Bull Durham. I'm more of a comedy guy for that type of stuff. So Bull Durham's a home run, and Field of Dreams can sit on the bench.
You ever see the actual Field of Dreams? You ever stop down there
in
Dyersville?
I have not.
Here's what I would say, even though you kind of have to go out of your way to see it. Don't ever go out of your way to see it, but if you happen to be strolling through Dyersville or within a stone's throw or a baseball's throw, it's pretty cool to see, especially now that they have that new kind of permanent stadium that MLB put up for their games. It's pretty cool. It's kind of fun to chuck the ball around there.
Yeah, it looks pretty. I would love to see that. I definitely am not anti that. You know, outside of my yearly trip to Diamond Joe's, which is literally a baseball throw into the Iowa yes. border from Minnesota, I need to probably explore a little bit more of Iowa. But yeah, it doesn't like I love The Sandlot. The Sandlot's like on one of my all timers. Yeah. I love that movie. I used to really like it, and we reviewed it. I think it's now a horrible film, and this probably comes from my hatred of Jimmy Fallon. I hate Fever Pitch. That's one of the worst movies ever. And both of them, I'm not a Drew Barrymore hater like some are, but both of their personalities in that film are skin crawling to me. You got mumbling Jimmy Fallon. You got like aloof Drew Barrymore, and it's 90 minutes of just pain. I do not put that movie on in front of me unless it is like waterboard torching. I can't do it.
I think Jimmy Fallon, I've grown a tiny bit more of appreciation for him with his version of, oh, is it Tonight Show, Late Show? I don't even know. That's how.
Buddy, we love you so much, buddy. I think his talk show is what made me hate him more.
Oh,
like I liked him as Weekend Update guy. I kind of liked him as goofy comedy guy. I don't love. Dude, look at the slot he has. Look at the people that were on before him, and now it's Jimmy Fallon. Like, I would be furious at the predecessors if I was one of them, looking at this being like, this guy is the one running my show, and I'm not a Jay Leno stan either, but seriously, that's who is doing late night?
I just think what's interesting about this is you and I have kind of flipped on our Jimmy Fallon opinions, because I did not love him in Weekend Update because he couldn't finish his jokes without laughing.
Yeah,
And I'm okay with that, like, by and large, but when you do it for every joke, it would drive me crazy.
I do feel you there.
Who knew I could get Declan that worked up about Jimmy Fallon and Fever Pitch?
Bring up Jimmy Fallon, and if you want to go watch or listen to an old rom-com rewind, you can find that, too, on our Movie Rewind podcast feed. So
please do it. Please do it, kids.
Plenty of great stuff there. We'll bring that back most likely probably in June, because the Wolves are going to win the NBA championship. So
yeah,
we have to devote some time to that. But hit the like button, hit the subscribe button right here on the Score North Twins YouTube channel. That's Ross Brendel. I'm Declan Goff. Thank you so much for listening and watching, subscribing, and giving us 5-star reviews. The Twin Show podcast feed has been great over the last month since the season started, too. So appreciate everyone hitting the download button and the like button. This has been Score North Extra Innings. We'll be talking at you another time.